Bahilika and his son Somadatta. He also saw Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Karna, Duryodhana, Ashwatthama, the Pandavas, and other close friends. After Apura, the son of Gandini, had appropriately greeted all his relatives and friends, they asked him for news of their family members, and he in turn asked about their welfare. He remained in Hastinapur for several months to scrutinize the conduct of the weak-willed king, who had bad sons and who was inclined to give in to the whims of mischievous advisors. We have heard from Sri Shukadev Goswami in the previous chapter of how Lord Sri Krishna, during his visit to Mathura, was giving pleasure and fulfilling all of the desires of his devotees. Upon the humble and loving request of Akrura, Bhagavan Sri Krishna personally visited his own house. At that time, Akrura was offering such beautiful prayers to the Lord. In fact, there are 9 processes of devotional service. Shravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasire pujana sakijana atma nivedana. And there is a particular exalted, purified devotee who is exemplary of each of these 9 processes of devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit perfected his life simply by hearing. Shukadev Goswami simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj by always remembering the Lord. The process of bandhanam, or offering prayers to the Lord, is most perfectly exemplified by Akrura. Because his prayers were so filled with humility, faith, and a desire to completely surrender to the will of the Lord. Akrura was often sent on very difficult missions. We know how Kamsa sent Akrura to Vrindavan, Nandagaon, with the mission of bringing Krishna back to Mathura so that Chanura, Mushtika, or Kuvalyapita would kill both Krishna and Balaram. But Akrura, understanding that Krishna was the Supreme Absolute Truth, knew that he would not be defeated by anyone, that although he was externally appearing to go as a servant of Kamsa, in his heart, he was actually going as a servant of Krishna, because he knew that it was Krishna's desire to ultimately free Devaki and Vasudev and Ugrasena, his dear devotees, from the wrath and imprisonment of Kamsa. He knew that he came to the world on the request of Mother Bhumi, as well as Brahma and the other devatas, for the purpose of ridding the world of the burden of such terrible asuras as Kamsa. So he was actually coming, although very much misunderstood, he was coming as the humble surrendered servant of Krishna. Although to the world he appeared as the servant of Kamsa. It is very difficult to understand the internal love and devotion of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyena bujai. Even the greatest learned scholars and the most elevated transcendentalists cannot understand the mysteries of the mind of the great Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. On his way to Vrindavan, he was offering such prayers of utter surrender and humility, willing to give his life to the Lord. And he endured a great difficulty, because as he was bringing Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, the gopis became very angry with him. You call yourself Akrura, which means one who does not give anyone any pain or harm, but you are causing us the greatest pain of our life. Akrura drove the chariot that took Krishna and Balaram away from all of the Brijvasis. Such a terrible service. But it was Krishna's will. He was willing to endure such unpopularity because it was the service that Krishna wanted him to render. In fact, he was cursed by the gopis to be cursed by somebody who is materialistic and demoniac. We don't mind. In fact, devotees are always being cursed by materialistic people. Srila Prabhupada explained how Narada Muni was cursed by Daksha because he convinced two various sets of his sons to become renunciates and leave home and become full-time devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explained that similarly, when I went to the Western countries, so many young boys and girls came to my movement to dedicate their full time to spreading Krishna consciousness. And the parents of those devotees cursed me. And in the same way as Narada Muni, now I am not allowed to stay anywhere for very long. I must always be traveling and preaching. Such a curse is actually a blessing. But Srila Prabhupada instructed us and also warned us that if you take my mission to heart, you will also be cursed in the same way. But devotees, they don't mind being cursed by materialistic people because they know that Krishna will protect them. As long as they are pleasing Krishna's devotees, what do we care about? But try to imagine Akrura's position. He was displeasing the best of all devotees. Uddhava came to Vrindavan with a message from Krishna and realized that there is no one more exalted than the gopis. They are the purest, the highest of all devotees. And here Akrura is making them weep and cry, to the extent that they were practically on the verge of death, laying their bodies in front of Akrura's chariot, telling Akrura, if you're going to take Krishna away from Vrindavan, then please at least be merciful enough to take our lives along with him. Please, Akrura, you are so cruel. You are taking Krishna away from us. Take our soul away from this body as well. We are laying our fragile gopi bodies in front of your chariot wheels. Please, Akrura, don't be so merciless. Run us over. Crush us. Kill us. That would be far less violent than forcing us to live within Vrindavan without Krishna, suffering the intense, unbearable pangs of separation. He really displeased the gopis. The best devotees, to the extent that the gopis, who were the well-wishers of everyone, they cursed him. To be cursed by Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha and Chitra and Sudevi and Rangadevi and Tungavidya and Induleka. This is not an ordinary curse. And because of this, later on, of course, we know that Akura actually lost his good intelligence and became implicated in apparently immoral activities. But because he was doing it all, simply because Krishna and Balaram wanted him to perform that service, he was protected. Not only protected, but he was exalted by the Lord himself. So here we find that Akura offered the prayers when Krishna visited his house, that my Lord, I am surrendered unto your lotus feet. I am simply ready and willing to do whatever you so desire. So Krishna fulfilled his prayer, not by giving him some material opulence, not by giving him some prestigious position, not by giving him elevation to Vaikuntha. He fulfilled his prayers by giving him service. Very difficult service. Because Akura was such an exalted Vaishnava that his only prayer was, my Lord, how can I serve you? When we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is what we are asking the Lord. Everyone in the world is asking Krishna for something or other. In every great religion, people go into their churches or their synagogues or their mosques or their gompas or their temples, mandirs, to offer some prayer, to ask something of the Lord. Great devotees of the Lord like Akura, they only ask for one thing. My Lord, how can I serve you? Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, the inconveniences and the sufferings that I undergo, my Lord, in your service are my greatest pleasure. Because I know in my sacrifices you are most pleased. So Krishna gave Akura the service of going to Hastinapur. Because Krishna had heard the news, and as the all-pervading Paramatma, he knew quite well the situation in Hastinapur. That Dhritarashtra, who was actually a very noble king, a very righteous man, he was one of the sons of Vedavyas. He was a very exalted soul. But even such an exalted soul, if they become sentimentally attached to materialistic people, they lose all of their good qualities. Dhritarashtra was potentially such a great devotee, but he had attachment to his son, Duryodhana. Why was he attached to Duryodhana? Simply because he was his elder son. We know how a father becomes attached to the eldest son. Due to this association, all of his good qualities were destroyed. They were all covered by material attachment. Here we find, to the extreme degree, whoever you are, if you associate with evil-minded, materialistic people, your spiritual qualities will be vanquished. We find so many examples of this. Dhritarashtra, due to his attachment to Duryodhana, he was also in the company of Shakuni, Karna, and so many other envious people. So he became envious. Dhritarashtra actually had such love and respect for the Pandavas, but he actually became envious of the Lord and his purest devotees simply due to bad association. So whoever we are, we must know that our spiritual life is dependent on the association we keep. We should never think that we are so advanced that this rule does not apply to us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this instruction, Asat Sangatyaga Vaishnavachar, that if you want to be a devotee, these are the rules. You always keep the association of sincere, dedicated devotees, Vaishnavas. And you avoid, worse than a plague, the association of non-devotees and people who are too much materialistic and attached to sense gratification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed that for one who is desiring to cross over this ocean of birth and death and attain the lotus feet of Krishna and his loving service, then to associate with the objects of sense gratification, to associate with the opposite sex too closely, to associate with a materialistic person who is too much attached to sense gratification, he said, it is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. Dhritarashtra, the son of Vyasadeva, the brother of Pandu, the exalted king of the dynasty of Kurus, such a great devotee of the Lord, from birth even, he lost all of his spiritual vision and became an envious offender of Vaishnavas and Krishna simply because he was too much attached to the association of materialistic people. So Krishna understood that his beloved aunt Kunti Devi was feeling great sorrow because her sons, the Pandavas, were too much being abused, mistreated, and even persecuted. So Krishna sent Akrura to Hastinapur on the mission of investigating what's really happening in Hastinapur. What type of injustices are there? What is the mental situation of the Pandavas? What type of envy is in the hearts of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and the others? In this way, Krishna wanted to give pleasure and ultimately glorify Akrura by giving him this very, very difficult service. So when the spiritual master or when the senior Vaishnavas, who are the representatives of Lord Krishna, give us some difficult service, even a service that will be very misunderstood, following in the footsteps of Akrura, we should welcome it. We should know that in pleasing the Lord and His devotees, we will attain the loving blessings of the Lord. And that is all that is required. This is the principle that the great Vaishnavas live by. Today is the disappearance day of one such great Vaishnava. Narahari Sarakar Thakur, one of the most intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born of Narayan Dev and Gopi Devi, mother and father. And according to the great Acharyas, his spiritual form in Goloka Vrindavan was one of the intimate gopi friends of Sri Radharani named Madhu Mati. And he appeared in this world as a Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa, simply to assist Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his loving lila and help him to preach the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He was a resident of Srikhanda. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many descriptions of the exalted nature of this holy place of Srikhanda. Because we should know, wherever saintly people are living, that place becomes the holiest of all holy places. Narahari had an older brother named Mukunda Sarakar. And Mukunda Sarakar had a very illustrious son named Raghunandan. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these three personalities specific instructions. Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda, Narahari's brother, "Are you the father or are you the son of Raghunandan?" Who happened to be by birth his son. And Mukunda said that, "I am the son of my son, Raghunandan. Because it was Raghunandan who told me first of your glories and gave me introduction to Krishna consciousness. So he is really my father, spiritually." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Mukunda, who is actually a royal physician, he told him that you should perform your duty properly, earn money, and always support the devotees in Krishna consciousness. And he told Raghunanda and his son that you should worship the Lord in the temple and dedicate your life in that way. And Narahari, he told him, "You come, you stay with me in Jagannath Puri. You always associate with my intimate associates, and you help with the preaching of the glories of the holy name." So Narahari Sarakar lived in Jagannath Puri at the Totha Gopinath temple along with Gadadhar Pandit. And they became the most intimate fast friends. In fact, he was of such intimacy with the Lord that he would often accept as his service fanning the Lord with the chamara. Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings about Narahari Sarakar. Narahari Ari Kari Chamara Dulaya Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Goshadikaya. During the beautiful aarti of Lord Gaurasundar, Narahari was posted with the chamara fan, gently giving pleasure to the Lord's body with this loving service. Narahari Sarakar Thakur was also a very great poet and a very scholarly and devoted writer. Even before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote many beautiful words in the glorification of Radha and Krishna's Leela. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so humble that he would practically never allow anyone to sing his own glories in his presence. We have seen how when anyone would approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would hold his ears. He would say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me. Never contaminate my heart by calling me the enjoyer, God. I am always eternally his servant." But of all the devotees, one in particular was so intimate that he could, in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sing the glories of Lord Gauranga. And that was Narahari Sarakar. So he was very much considered a special associate of the Lord, because practically he alone had this privilege of chanting the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing of this, Srinivas Acharya, who was from the village of Jajigram, he was very much always hearing from his father, Chaitanya Das, the beautiful pastimes of Lord Gaurasundar, and hearing about the intimate association that Narahari Sarakar had with the Lord, Srinivas became naturally and spontaneously very attracted to this great Vaishnava. So he went to Srikanda, and there he took shelter of the lotus feet of Narahari Sarakar. And it was upon hearing the beautiful words of Narahari in the glorification of the Lord that Srinivas, for the first time, exhibited symptoms of ecstatic love of Krishna. In fact, Srinivas requested Narahari to give him initiation and to be his spiritual master, because Narahari would very, very lovingly instruct Srinivas in all the principles of Vaishnavism. But Narahari Sarakara Thakur told Srinivas that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is desiring that you later take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan. So Narahari was the first, one of the first and most prominent Shiksha Gurus for Srinivas Acharya. And then he told Srinivas that Lord Gaurasundar is living in Puri. You should go to Jagannath Puri to have his darshan. So he was just about to go to Puri, but he found out that his mother was very ill, and his father, I believe, he was also very ill. So he had to spend some time with them. Then, on the order of Narahari Thakur, he went to Puri. But you all know the story. On the way, he heard the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left his body. And when he heard this, he was so struck like a thunderbolt with anguish of separation that he literally fell unconscious. And when he woke from his unconscious state, he decided, "How unfortunate I am that I have missed the opportunity to associate with Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. What is the use of my life? I will enter into fire and kill myself." But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a vision and told him, "You should go to Puri, and there you should take shelter of Gadadhar Pandit, my intimate associate. And you should study Srimad Bhagavatam from him. He went to the Tota Gopinath Mandir of Gadadhar Pandit, and he fell at his lotus feet, and Gadadhar Pandit said, "I would like to teach you Bhagavatam, but what can I do? Since Mahaprabhu has left the planet, every time I read the Bhagavatam, so many rivers of tears flow from my eyes that all the ink of the Bhagavatam cannot be read. But my dear friend and associate, Narahari Sarakar, you should go to him in Srikhanda, and there in Srikhanda, another copy of the Bhagavatam could be written for you." So Srinivas returned to Narahari. At that time, Narahari, he was quite old, and he was also completely immersed in the pangs of separation upon hearing the news of his most intimate Lord and friend, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his disappearance. And another copy of Bhagavatam was written, and Srinivas went to Puri. But when he arrived, he heard the blessed news that Gadadhar Pandit had left this world in separation of Mahaprabhu. So again he fainted with the resolve, "What is the use of my life? Without the association of such great souls, suicide is the only recourse." But then Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him and told him, "No, you should go to Vrindavan. Take shelter of Rupa and Sanatana." Again, Srinivas, I believe, went back and had the blessed association of Narahari Sarakara, his Shiksha Guru, his instructing spiritual master. And after some time, he went to Vrindavan. And when he came to Mathura, he was taking his bath in Vishram Ghat when he heard the news that Rupa and Sanatan had left the world in separation of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Again, he swooned in a state of absolute, unbearable agony of separation. He fell unconscious. And then Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him and told him that it is the Lord's desire that you take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and you should study under Sri Jiva Goswami. This he did, along with Narottam Thakur and Shyamananda. And by the order of Jiva Goswami, the request of Janavi Devi, he led this first book distribution preaching party by taking all the Goswami's books to Bengal. It is a long story. On the way in Vana Vishnupur, the king Birambir stole the books. Srinivas sent Narottam and Shyamananda ahead to Ketori and to Ambika Kalna to do their preaching. And meanwhile, Srinivas, by his wonderful exposition of the teachings of the Bhagavatam, the king, all of his ministers, pundits, and the whole kingdom became his disciples. And as Guru Dakshin, Srinivas asked the king, "Can you help me find these books?" He said, "I have these books." And after that, Srinivas spent some time. And then he returned to Bengal. And he was preaching. And he heard the news that Narahari Sarakar was very ill. He was very old. And for so many years, he could hardly eat or sleep because of his separation from his beloved Lord, Gaurasundar. So Srinivas Acharya went. he returned to Srikanda, and it was on this blessed day of Ekadasi that Narahari Sarakar returned to the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan, physically leaving this world of birth and death behind. And Srinivas Acharya and the other Vaishnavas who loved Narahari so dearly, they arranged a wonderful, wonderful festival in honor of the disappearance of Narahari Sarakar Thakur. The great Vaishnavacharya Srinivas Acharya personally organized and arranged the disappearance festival of Sri Narahari Sarakar Thakur. So it truly is a very blessed and auspicious day. We have such a wonderful opportunity by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who has given us these most auspicious literatures which describe the lives of these great saintly devotees of the Lord. Such an opportunity to strive to become the servant of the servant of the servant of such great devotees by following in their footsteps, by giving our life and soul simply for the satisfaction of Krishna, by always praying, "My Lord, how can I serve you?" And by always approaching the Vaishnav devotees of the Lord with the same prayer, "My dear Vaishnav Thakur, how can I serve you?" Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.